I'm always excited to be with you all. Are you excited to be with me? Woo! Yes. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, you are in us. And when your people have gathered to hear a word from you, you speak to us your good word. So we wait for you. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks, God has a word for you. And would you receive it? And would you hear from the Lord today? I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and a friend of mine once said, "Did you know that there's a large population of people who are addicted to comfort?" Yeah, that was my reaction. When I heard this, I was like, huh, I've heard of a lot of different addictions, but I have never heard of the addiction of comfort. And you can actually look it up. There is an actual condition. People are addicted to comfort. They will indulge in things that make them feel comfort. And I thought about it, and I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting. And then in further conversation, another word came to my mind, and it was convenience. Our culture loves convenience, don't we? Do you like convenience? Oh, yeah. We love convenience. Now, in the past, in your bag, we would carry around with us our phone. How many of you have had a Garmin GPS? And this was before we had navigation system in our cars, right? And you would have to carry around this thing, right? And then it would tell you where to go and give you directions. If you wanted to take notes, you would have to carry around a notebook and something to write with. If you like to read, you would have to carry around an actual book. When I had gave birth to my firstborn daughter, we would carry around a DVD player. Have you had that before? Yeah, those things are huge, right? And you would have to flip it open like this, and you would have to get a charger. And then you would carry around a laptop if you needed to work. If you like playing games, how many of you have had a Game Boy before? Yes, thank you. All of these things, a planner, right? All of these things we would have to carry around in our bag, and let me tell you, our bags were pretty big. And if you're a mom, you would probably try to put everything in your stroller, right? And yet now, we don't have to carry around all those things because we have something called a smartphone. All of that in one. And if someone said to you, "Would you like to carry all of that or would you like everything in this?" What would you choose? Probably this. That's why we pay thousands of dollars for something like this. Because it's convenient, right? It's easy. We like it. We love it. Tell me more. We love convenience, and the question is why? Why do we love convenience? Why is our culture so fixated and consumed with convenience? Because life is busy. Life is hard, life is on the go, and so if I can carry everything here on this, whoo, it's easy. It makes life so easy. Or does it? Or does it? 55% of Americans are stressed during the day. 55%. 57% of Americans feel paralyzed due to stress. They feel like they can't do anything. 63% of American workers are ready to quit their job due to work-related stress. That is big. They don't just want something different. They're on the verge of saying, "I'm done. I can't do this anymore." Now watch this. 94% of American workers feel stressed at work regularly. That's almost all of us, y'all. Wow. And yet we think convenience will make life easy, will make life so good. But does it? Because you see, the statistics show us that it's actually not. The reality is that one of the outcomes of a chaotic life is stress. When I meet people and they tell me, hey, my life is so chaotic, I never hear them say, and it's so good. I love chaos. I don't hear people say that. What I hear usually people say is, my life is so chaotic and I am so stressed. I'm stressed. Northern Virginia will hear that quite often. Now, when we talk about a chaotic life, we oftentimes talk about a life where there's so much going on, life is so busy, our planner, our schedules are so packed with meetings, right? Meetings and appointments, all the stuff that we have to do. And even self-care sometimes becomes another thing that we have to do. So a chaotic life, when we talk about this chaotic life, it feels like we're talking about a life that is packed, that's full, that's busy. Huh. Yet chaos comes from the Greek word kaos, which means empty, gaping void. We have to really start thinking about this, okay? When we talk about chaos, a chaotic life, we talk about a life that's busy, there's so much going on, you can't seem to catch up, you're running out of time, right? And yet, the word chaos comes from the Greek word kaos, meaning empty, gaping void. And so there seems to be a little bit of a gap and a difference here, right? One seems full, and yet the definition at the heart of it is emptiness. It's void. And so what I'm thinking is that when we say chaos, when we're using the word chaos, and we're saying our lives are chaotic, what we're actually describing is the symptom of chaos, not chaos itself. Because you see, all that we're doing, everything that we're doing, seems to be void of purpose and meaning. It is empty. It is disconnected. And so when we talk about this chaotic life, maybe perhaps we're not talking about the real chaos itself, but we're talking about the symptom. The symptom. A Greek Stoic philosopher named Epictetus, he once said, "People are disturbed not by a thing, but by their perception of a thing." You see this right here? This is powerful. And I believe in some ways that this is one of the most powerful things in this world. Would you do me a favor? Just go like this with your hands and just move your fingers. Wow! Wow! I'm telling you, sometimes I get this like wow moment. And there was this moment where like I was driving and God told me to do the same thing, right? My daughter, move your fingers. And I was like driving. I was like, okay. And I started moving my fingers and God said, wow! Wow! You just did that with your mind. Oftentimes we think we're doing that with our hand, right? Or we're doing that with our fingers. But what you're doing all of this with, it begins in the mind. This is so powerful. And yet this is what gives us perception. The mind can make you feel like you're losing control, or things are meaningless or purposeless, or the mind can help you to thrive in life. And there's hope for us. Amen? All right. Get ready. John 16:33. This is what Jesus says. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, when I would read this passage very often, and I heard sermons about it, when it says, you will have trouble, I always always heard it as in, like, life's hard, y'all. There's so much going on, and there's challenges, and nothing is easy. You can't control things. You're going to have trouble in this world. That's how I heard it, and that's how I learned it. And then I looked it up. I actually looked it up in the Greek and what that word trouble actually means. And the word trouble actually means challenge of coping with internal pressure of a tribulation. So it's not talking about our external circumstances that are difficult, but it's talking about the circumstances that bring so much stress and anxiety and worry inside our minds. Huh. So it's saying, in this world, you're gonna have stress. And the way you perceive things is going to be so important. But remember, there's hope. I love how Jesus right afterwards says, but take heart. Don't forget, I have already overcome. The mind of Jesus Christ who has overcome, he gives that to us. Amen? All right. Now, the Bible tells us that we are God's temple. Have you heard of that before? Yeah. You are God's temple. And so I used to think that, okay, so that means we got to take care of our bodies, right? Because God lives in us, right? And don't do things that, you know, don't show that this is sacred and holy. I'm like, yeah. But there's something else that I want to learn today, that I want us to learn today and look at about God's temple. God's temple. Okay? God's temple was really big. This is a Jewish temple. And in the Jewish temple, on the outer courts, right, that was exposed to the sun, on the outer courts, life was busy. There was so much going on. There was people coming to visit. There were prayers happening. There were people meeting. And then sacrifices were all happening on the outer courts. Life was busy. The temple was busy on the outside. And yet, on the inside, of the temple, the Holy of Holies, there was complete peace. There was calmness. There was stillness. Because the Jews believed that the presence of God resided in the Holy of Holies. And when the Bible says that we are the temple of God, it's describing how externally there's so much going on. We do so much. All the activities and all that we do, just like the life at the temple, right? And yet inside of us is the stillness and the peace and the calmness of God. And you see, this is not a suggestion. It's not saying, hey, strive for it, work towards it. It's a statement of truth. It's saying you are God's temple. So we already have it. It's already in us. The peace and the stillness of God is already in us. Amen. All right, y'all. Get ready for this one. When God created the animals, the birds and fish, when God created them, God spoke to their environment. For example, when God created the animals, God spoke to the ground. That's their environment. When God created the birds, God spoke to the sky. That's their environment. When God created fish, God spoke to the waters. That's their environment, right? And in order for the animals to thrive, survive and thrive, they have to stay near the ground. In order for the birds to survive and thrive, they need to stay near the sky. That's their environment. In order for the fish to survive and thrive, they have to stay near the waters. That's their environment. Now, when God created humans, get ready, okay? when God created humans, God spoke to our environment. What is our environment? Watch this. God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make humans in our image." Who was God talking to? Who was God talking to? God. God was talking to God's self, the triune God. Let us make humans in our image. Our environment is who? It's God. Woo, come on. Come on. Catch that. Ride that. I'm getting emotional, y'all. The environment, our environment that which we were called out of was God, was God's self. We come from God. And in order for us to survive and thrive, we have to stay near to God. And that's why Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us. And that's why the Holy Spirit is not out here swirling around, but the Holy Spirit is in us. We are one with God. Do you believe? I have four kids. I shouldn't put that out there. And life is busy. And let me tell you, my kids, they are very physically affectionate. They like to hug each other. They like to kiss. They like to cuddle. They like to play together, spend a lot of time together, especially during COVID. Oh, they became best friends. And one day, all of them got sick. And when they got sick, they started spreading all that love. And it was one of those sicknesses where it was projectile vomit. And I still remember I was sleeping. Daniel and I were sleeping. And we got woken up to, ah! And so we run out. And our three girls were sharing a room at the time. And we opened the door, and there is vomit all over the wall. All over the ground, all over the bed, all over their toys. And then we're like, okay, just stand off to the side. So we grab like towels and stuff and we're cleaning up and everything. And all of a sudden we hear, right? And we look over and there's someone else vomiting on the other side of the wall. And this happened, y'all, like for days. Yeah, they'd be playing in the living room and then all of it all. And it's like, Lord. And I have to admit, when it kept happening, I got super frustrated. I got really angry, too, because I'm praying, right? I'm like, God, please help. I'm like, lying asleep. I'm so tired. Help me. My kids are sick, right? And I'm a slight germaphobe, too. So you can imagine, right? Some of you are, like, nodding your heads, right? Like, when my kids, like, sneeze, right? And they sneeze, like, right towards me. I go, oh, my gosh. And so during this time, lack of sleep and just like, you know, the kids are sick and all that stuff, I got really angry. And I looked up at God and I said, oh, it's so easy for you, isn't it? Here I am working so hard. I'm cleaning up everything. And you're just standing there just doing nothing and just watching me to see if I'm doing it right. So easy for you. I felt like I was dying. And in my anger, and I was just like standing there like, say something, God. I felt the Lord say to me, you feel alone. You feel like you're doing this all by yourself. And I said, aren't I? I'm the one who's doing all the work here. Where are you? And then there was just this humbling reminder that, wow, I think that God is somewhere out there, and I am here, and I am doing all the work by myself, and God is just watching me, and I'm suffering while God is just somewhere else. And what I began to realize is that I am not alone, and that all that I'm doing is not by myself, but it's actually through the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that I am able to care for my children and actually love them through that, and even realize that when they're sick, that they need love the most, that that's actually the Holy Spirit. I'm not alone. You are not alone. And in the ways that we live and the ways that we give, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is not simply watching us. God is in us, working in and through us. Genesis 1, it says, darkness was over the face of the earth. And I love it because it says that darkness was present. But God doesn't go, oh, look, it's darkness. Look, it's darkness. It's so dark. God doesn't do that. But you see in the creation narrative, what happens is that it says darkness was over the face of the earth. And yet God said, let there be light. Come on. Come on. God didn't speak to darkness. It was there, but God didn't speak to darkness. What God spoke was light. And I believe that you and I can do the same. That in challenging, chaotic, busy, challenging times, that instead of speaking the darkness, we could speak the light. We can speak God's presence. We can speak God's love, hope, blessing, and goodness into our circumstances. Amen? I'll give you an example. I was at a clergy meeting with a bunch of pastors. It's a great time. We talk about ministry, we check in with each other, we pray with each other. But every time I would see people, they'd be like, you're busy, huh? I bet you're real busy, right? They're like, you're a florist, you're real busy, right? Because they know that florists, there's a lot of ministry that we do. And I just kept hearing it all morning long. You must be so busy. And they all know that I have 4 kids, right? And my husband's in ministry too. And then finally, I ran into a really good friend of mine, and he looked at me and he goes, hey, Isaiah, how are you doing? You must be so busy. And I looked at him and I said, no, I'm not busy. And he's like, what? Are you not at Florist anymore? I said, no. I'm still doing ministry. I'm at Florist and Restoration. And I said, no, I'm not busy. I am impactful. And he looked at me and he goes, okay, tell me a little bit more about that. And I said, you see, when you say I'm busy, it seems to imply that there's a lot of stuff going on, right? There's just a lot of stuff going on, and you're just busy. But you see, I'm not busy. I'm doing a lot, but I'm making impact in the lives of people. And he looked at me and he said, can I steal that from you? I said, of course, take it. And you see, we need to stop saying, oh, we're so busy. There's all this stuff going on. What we need to start saying is, I'm doing kingdom work. I'm doing God work. I'm living out my calling. I'm sharing the love of God, I'm blessing people, I'm making impact, and I'm making transformation in this world. Even pouring a cup of milk for your child is impact. It's perception. How are you seeing it? And what are you believing? In today's passage, Matthew 6, Jesus tells us, don't worry about your lives. Don't worry. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. But you see, Jesus is not saying, hey, those things aren't important. Jesus is saying, don't worry about them. Because you see, when you feel as though life is chaotic, that there's this disconnect and it's empty and it's void of meaning and purpose, you're going to be so fixated on these external things to give you meaning. And Jesus says, those things are not going to give you meaning. What's going to give you meaning is the righteousness of God. So Jesus said, seek first the righteousness of God. And do you know who we are? The righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Would you say that to someone next to you? Say, we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you might think that the opposite of chaos is fullness, right? Empty, full. I think the opposite of chaos is Holy Spirit. The opposite of chaos is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God's life, God's breath, God's presence, God's peace. And I'll tell you right now, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the living God, the living Holy Spirit life in you. You have it. You don't have to go looking for it. You have it. Just take a deep breath right now. That's God in you. Our lives are not chaotic. Our lives are not busy. Our lives are full of the life of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Lord, you are a God who is not far and who is not just simply nearby, but you are a God who is one with us and who is in us and who gives us meaning and purpose. We do not have lives that are empty and void, but we have the life of Jesus Christ, who is so full of the life of the Holy Spirit, the life of God, the breath of God. How do we find balance in the midst of all that is going on? We are connected to you. We are connected to each other. And we are connected to the life of God. Help us to see that and live into it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.